power. Our LSU. Boom!
All night long. Yes.
Heads, freaking go. Spring football is here. Are you kidding me? We got to see the LSU Tigers. Well, we didn't get to see, but the new coaching staff got to see. And we, in one small little social media clip, got to see the brand new LSU Tiger football team. It was so good seeing CJ Daniels wearing that number 4 uniform. So does that mean that the John Emery era is officially over? We're going to be talking about all that today. We're also, I got a few compliments on our interview we recently did with Xavier Debo Atkins. Guess what? We're giving away an autographed Xavier Debo Atkins photo today as well here on PHL. The first $20 Super Chat will get that photo in the mail from yours truly. We've got all kinds of giveaways here because it is a glorious day to be an LSU Tiger fan because of spring football. Brian Kelly did an interview with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate talking about the running game recently. And I want to include something when it comes to the LSU rushing attack, that the run game really struggled towards the end of the season. Now, it didn't need to be great because Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. were so great. And when those three played at the level that they played at towards the end of the season, you honestly didn't need to run the football. There was no reason handing the football off when it's just not as optimal than just dropping back to pass with Jaden Daniels and him scrambling for 1,000 yards or throwing it, obviously, to number 8 or to number 11. But what I do want to say about the LSU running game is when they actually handed the football off to running backs, it was not an optimal game, right? It was not something that worked towards the end of last season. And that is something that is concerning if you are an LSU fan because, well, you don't have Jaden Daniels anymore. He was your running game, in particular towards the end of last year. Now, there were games where LSU was able to establish a run when it comes to handing the football off to its running backs. Obviously, Logan Diggs in that Ole Miss game was a huge factor. Logan Diggs in the Missouri game was a huge factor. He had some big runs to start things off versus Auburn. And we did have the occasional moment of brilliance from Josh Williams and, of course, Caleb Jackson and so on and so on. But you look at the end of last season, LSU hardly ever had a running back go over 40 yards rushing. 40 is a low bar to clear, especially when you consider the great history that LSU has with its running backs. So Brian Kelly said in the interview that you need to be ready for a brand new look when it comes to actually running the football. Now, there is some concerns about who's actually going to take the carries because LSU's running back room, this is not that deep at the time being. Obviously, Caleb Jackson is the RB1, and I think that's pretty clear at this point during spring, especially considering Josh Williams is, you know, getting up there in terms, not necessarily of athletic prime, not a lot of athletic prime, but, you know, last year he sat out during the spring. I don't think they're really going to want to run him too much because of his injury history over the past year or so. So, you know, with Trey Holly's status up in the air and Caden Durham not coming into the fall, LSU's running back room is going to be very thin. But one point of emphasis for Brian Kelly this offseason is going to be getting the running game going when it comes to actually handing the football off to the running backs. It's got to get better because Garrett Nussmeier is just not going to give you really anything close to what Jaden Daniels gave you with his legs. That's not really anything you need an expert to tell you. But that's going to be one of the many spring storylines that I'm looking forward to. So I've already given you two of my top ones, the LSU running game, and then, of course, DJ Daniels. I'm going to give you three more here in just a second. But first, we say hi to Tony the Tiger. We say hi to Jared. We say hi to Lance and Mick. We are in the dead of the offseason. Now, of course, there are other storylines outside of LSU football that we will discuss. Apparently, yesterday, my rant on Blake's show got passed around quite a bit about the future of college football. You guys know I have been doing more NFL content on my Power Hour NFL channel. If you have not subscribed, I can't start making money on that channel until I get to 1,000 subscribers, which is wild considering I've had videos outperform a lot of NFL channels that have been around for years. I've had videos outperform the ESPN NFL stuff. And I can't make any money on it until I get to 1,000 subscribers. I think it's stupid because I have 1,000 subscribers, just not on that channel. So please go subscribe. Power Hour NFL is the name. It's pretty simple. I'll put a link down below. But, you know, you did have the combine this past weekend. We discussed that on Sunday night. I want to talk about current LSU stuff. Of course, there is more LSU athletics happening right now outside of just the world of LSU football. Shout out to Angel Reese, once again, you know, proving she is the best player in the SEC. And then, of course, shout out to Michaela Williams, getting her freshman honors. I'm really excited for Michaela. Of course, Michaela Williams is a former PHL guest. So I'm going to be very biased towards Michaela Williams because she obviously graced us with her presence roughly a year ago. It's amazing how far she has come along. I do want to get into the next three storylines, if you do not mind. Okay, we say hi once again to Lance. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the compliments on the backdrop. We are not done yet with the backdrop. As you can see with the purple lights, let me know what you guys think. And please keep sharing the channel. I am my own person. I don't do a whole lot of baseball. I don't do a whole lot of the other sports. I try and keep it football. But I have gotten a few requests to talk about the other sports. I'm happy to do that. Because LSU softball is undefeated. That's really cool. LSU women's basketball, of course, there's LSU women's basketball. And then, of course, LSU baseball is LSU baseball. All three are as dominant, if not more dominant, than LSU football right now. The other three spring storylines, this is obviously story number three. Okay, we talked about CJ Daniels, number four. I think the biggest story on defense is going to be Harold Perkins. What is he playing for Harold Perkins moving forward? So the other number four on the defensive side of the football, what's his future look like? We know he can play, but where is his best position next season? I think Harold Perkins himself needs to ask himself where he feels the most comfortable. I think we will have a huge bounce back Perk season. And the truth is, his season last year was not bad really at all. It just wasn't special like his true freshman season. So that's storyline number three. Storyline number four are the new coaches. And every year when there's new coaches on an LSU staff, or just any staff, that's always a big storyline. This is a little bit different, though, because in year one, of course, Brian Kelly had pretty much all new coaches outside of Brad Davis. Last year, going into the season, there really wasn't any new coaches, right? You know, you lost Coach Napoleon, and there was a few other shakeups, but really nothing substantial. But to me, this new coaches is at least a storyline on its own. We already saw the highlight clip. I might play it for you in just a second. I kind of want to. I was going to save it for a little bit later. We see Jared with a super chat. I really appreciate you, man. Jared has been killing it with crypto lately. Congrats to you, man. Thank you so much, Jared, for the super chat, because obviously things do slow down in the offseason for your boy. It's all good, though. Here is the clip that LSU football released earlier today. And as you can see, there's CJ Daniels right there. Lots of hype surrounding him. Garrett Nussmeier walking in for the first time. Okay. You see Will Campbell right here. I saw quite a few people get very worried about the wide receivers dominating in these clips. I take that as a good thing that Chris Hilton and Kyron Lacy are going to be big time. Of course, there's Ashton Stamps right there. It's Javon Nichols, Aaron Anderson with that catch. There's Whit Weeks, number 40, Mason Taylor. Gets one right there on Whit Weeks. You get Aaron Anderson. There's Jake Olsen right there. Sabian Jones going up against Will Campbell. You see a few new coaches there. Coach Davis, Coach Olsen, Coach Raymond. There's Aaron Anderson again. Obviously, you see Garrett Nussmeier and Ricky Collins throwing some dimes. That was Shelton Sampson. And so on and so on. So if you're listening to this via podcast, I know that wasn't the absolute best experience for you, but basically it was just your typical LSU football related clip, right? It was just very fast and edited. I know a lot of people were concerned because the DBs are getting beat again. Okay, not really a big deal for me at this point. They're still getting used to their new coaching, and hopefully we have some corners step up. If not, let's hit the portal, and get some new guys in. Jared, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. I can't wait to see TJ here in just a few weeks. It'll be here before you know it, TJ. Really excited about that. Don't forget our friends at Louisiana Controls. They got a new website, louisianacontrols.com. It is very fancy. If you need commercial HVAC air conditioning needs, louisianacontrols.com is the place to go. Okay? Now we get to storyline number five. Okay? And I'm going to give you a storyline that has nothing to do with football at all, okay? It's a recruiting. All right. This is going to sound like everything that I am against, because you guys know I am not a big fan of college football recruiting this early in the cycle before the upcoming seniors even play their high school season. I do want to share something though, okay? I keep up with this stuff semi-regularly. It's not my favorite thing to do. I would much rather look at Reuben Randall highlights or anything other than high school recruiting highlights. But I do want this to be known. I went through and looked at a recruiting visitor list for this coming weekend, okay? So we're not talking about spring game weekend, right? Spring game weekend has gotten a little bigger under Brian Kelly for a few reasons. Number one, well, you know, Brian Kelly has obviously been better these past couple of seasons than Ed Orgeron his final few seasons. Also, it's helped out that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have been in our last few spring football games. Angel Reese was at our last spring game. So the spring game's still not a big thing like it is at Alabama and maybe a few other schools, but it's getting bigger, okay? Our spring game visitor list has gotten better. You know, we had Colin Simmons on campus for the last spring game and so on and so on. So, you know, we've done a good job beating out other elite schools to get spring game visitors when they could be going to other schools. I do want to include, though, that the visitor list this weekend is stacked. Okay, it is absolutely stacked. And this is not spring game weekend. Okay, this, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, right? I don't want to do that. But this feels kind of like Alabama and Georgia level recruiting, okay? When Bryce Underwood's locked in and he's making visits, he's got to fly all the way in from Michigan, okay? Folks, that is a pain in the ass to fly all the way in from Michigan to come down here to a school you already committed, especially when you know you're coming down for spring game weekend. That tells me things are really shut down, okay? DeCorian Moore, Harlan Berry, guys that already committed. But I'm starting to look at these 2026s, which honestly, unless you are committing to LSU, I can really care less for 2026 at this point. But you got to get them on campus, okay? There's some elite 2026s that are making their visits down to Baton Rouge, all right? But one thing I've noticed during the springtime is our visitor list look to be a little bit better than what they've been in the past. Once again, that's very anecdotal. Once again, that's very sunshine and rainbows for the future of this program. But I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. We are killing it when it comes to recruiting. Let's go to TJ with the super. Are we still thinking Zy Alexander is a lock for CB1 at this point? So the first thing, TJ, we need to get clear for Zy Alexander is, will he even be available for the beginning of the season? Okay. Obviously, spring football, we will not see him. Okay. At this point, it's going to be tough to have him full systems go with two brand new defensive back coaches and a new DC. Will he be ready for the first game versus USC? Probably not a gazillion percent, if even if he was. Okay. So as far as he's starting corners for LSU is concerned, there is a lot of steam for PJ Wooden. A lot of steam. I'll hold off a little bit on that. I mean, I like PJ Woodland. I really do. I do see what a lot of people see in him as a three-star late ad from the state of Mississippi. But for right now, I think your cornerback one is going to be Sage Ryan. Okay. And it'll be Sage Ryan and JV and Toviano. I think that's how they ended the season at corner. I think that's where you will start it. You could see Ashton Stamps win one of those corner jobs. Historically speaking, it is really hard to win a cornerback job over a guy who's coming back with playing time. You've got to be special to win that corner job year one at LSU, right? Obviously, Derek Stingley is a great example of that. Mekhi Gardner was a transfer, a little bit different. Same thing for Converse. So I think EJ Woodland's got a shot. I really do think so. BB Causey, maybe he's got a shot. Maybe there's a Juwan Johnson possibility there. We'll see what happens. But TJ feels fully healthy. I would say Zy Alexander would be a lock for cornerback one, because when he was healthy, he was our best corner last year. But that's not here nor there. Okay. We shall see what happens, though. Okay. Scott Carvis, he says, at least we know we are good at safety. Precia says, there's no way Sage Ryan is going to be cornerback one. There's a higher likelihood of that happening than you would like to think. But this is what I would say as far as the LSU defense. And sometimes when I do my analysis, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to say something somewhat negative, what I say to the player's face, that's normally a good indication. Sometimes I'm like, I probably wouldn't just say this to this player. But I can say with near certainty that there are a lot of guys returning on this defense who last year just wasn't good. They just were not good football players. They struggled, and there's no other way around it. I wish I could be kinder about that, but that's just not where I can be at this point. Okay. Now, coming up, I'm going to tell you who those players are, but first,
PHL Nation. Oh, yeah, baby. You know about Louisiana Controls. They've been showing us love throughout this college football season, and I'm looking for you to do the same when it comes to your energy management commercial HVAC needs. It is all with our buddies who have been doing this for over 40 years. Yes, that is four decades. You know this Louisiana weather gets crazy. Go to LouisianaControls.com or call 225-924-4990, baby. Let's go.
Brand new website, Louisiana Controls, LouisianaControls.com. Okay. Let's go with Cole here. He says, I don't often disagree, but I couldn't disagree with you more. Our starting cornerback on the 115th ranked defense. Don't buy anything until next year and the next coaching staff. Yeah, look, Cole, I hope you're right, because, you know, it's going to be hard to think that the corners are just going to magically get better. Okay. But they could. They could. I don't know many analysts that were more critical of Sage Ryan last year. Okay. But before I get to this next super chat here with Black OT, shout out Zion Imaging. If you need graphic design help, let me know. We have teamed up with Zion Imaging. But truth be told, okay, we have got to be better at defensive back. And I'm going to give you a few names, not only at DB, where last year they were barely starting level players in the SEC. Okay. And all three of these guys I'm about to name were top 250 recruits. Okay. So these are 4-star level prospects with multiple years of starters experience now. It is time for them to take that next step. Okay. Sage Ryan is one of those guys. Another one of those guys is Savion Jones. Just wasn't good last year. Okay. And Greg Penn. Greg Penn had some good games. He had some rough games as well. Obviously, the Ole Miss game comes to mind. Those three guys were all 4-star pedigree type of players. They've all gotten a lot of playing time. We've not gotten the production out of them that you need out of a starter on an SEC-level defense at LSU, okay? So those three guys in particular, this is going to be a big spring for them, okay? And I want to believe in them. I want them to be great. I don't want to be sitting here telling you that last year on tape it was a tough go. But they've got to get better. They just do. Now let's go to Black OT. Carter B, what about Jelani Watkins? This dude, Vacatum Durham, looks slow. He ran a non-win 8 at 10.22 in high school. Okay. Yeah, Jelani Watkins. It's insane how fast he is. Okay. You know, when you watch him watch him play on the field. I mean, he is a burner. I mean, he's got the elite speed that you look for. But, you know, he is also someone of like the Jaylen Brown type, right? Jaylen Brown came into LSU last year and, you know, he was a speedster. That was the biggest name to his game, but he wasn't really that big and he's already transferred out to Florida State. Right. Jelani Watkins is kind of in the same mold. The difference is Jelani Watkins is way faster than Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown has really, really elite speed. You know, the Jaylen Brown speed is up there with Chris Hilton and Emily Neighbors on the team last season. So Jelani Watkins is probably the fastest wide receiver on this team. Probably him or Chris Hilton. That would be a close race. If everything else comes together, he's going to be so special. He really is. Simply because he is just electric, right? And if he comes along as a football player like he is as a track and field athlete, it's going to be wild. We say hi to Elijah. What's up? Elijah's been on this channel a few times. He actually lives a few doors down from me. And we'll get Elijah back on the channel pretty soon. You get better by replacing. Yeah, let's hope so. Okay. Normally, pressure, you do get better by replacing guys that just weren't that good. But sometimes you can get better by developing. Sometimes you can get better by someone else just taking that absolute massive quantum leap from year one to year two in their careers. But the guys I mentioned a minute ago, this is not a year one to year two leap. It's normally a year three to year four leap, right? And This is how I normally feel about all things, right? You know, good things normally take time, right? If you're going to be a great stand-up comedian, it normally takes 4 to 5 years to get good at it. And there's different levels to different things as you get better, right? But normally in athletics, you have a good idea who a person or player is by year two, okay? Like, of course, you occasionally have a Josh Allen that's a really late bloomer. You have, you know, Russell Gage who, you know, really didn't get to play until year four because of all the great players ahead of him. So there are some players that it does take a while for them to make some kind of leap. But normally you can see by year two of a player's development if they are going to be an SEC caliber player. It normally moves pretty quickly. So there you go. At this point, though, there are a lot of players entering year two that weren't even with LSU last season, right? As Pegasus points out, you have guys like Jaden Osbury. You have a bunch of guys coming in who's transferring in from other schools with top 250 pedigree, four-star level recruiting rankings. And these guys are ready, right? They're ready to come in and try and win playing time. And now LSU's got this ridiculous volume of defensive backs. Just not many of them are proven, right? So we'll see. Yeah, Elijah, Zion, the whole crew, good to see you. This is a year zero to year one leap. And you can see Prescia, he's kind of fed up. He's like, hey, if you're year four, year five, and you're not doing anything, might be time for you to skedaddle. Brian feels LSU will be elite at safety. So are you predicting major burns, Brian? Is that where you're going with this, BT? You think it's gonna be elite?
That's tough. Now,
I do want to touch just a little bit here on LSU baseball. Congrats to them. Obviously, all the success they've had. Still very early in the season. I really don't get into baseball until spring football's over. But obviously, Jay Johnson's got a really good team. Matt Tarina, shout out LSU softball. Skipper, Danny Girl, and so on. Okay. That really light up our Discord talking about softball, Sherry Berry. Please go sign up for the PHL Patreon. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of extra spring breakdowns on Patreon, so make sure you check that out. But really, LSU women's basketball is where I'm going to spend some time here. And before we do that, I actually want to talk about men's basketball. All right. Obviously, some very unfortunate news that came out today that Jalen Cook is suspended. We didn't get much specificity as to why, but he was just suspended for team rules reasons. How should I feel about that? I don't know. Obviously when he's played, he's been really good for him. But you know, this year for Matt McMahon, I feel better about the program. So type Y for yes, type N for no. Do you believe Matt McMahon should come back next season? Type Y for yes, type N for no. My mouth and voice are disconnected like a Godzilla movie. Is that true? Is that true? Let me know. Okay, so Oh, okay. So it was your internet. Not me. Yeah, me going crazy in here. Let me know if it was like that for anyone else. I believe he should. I do believe he should get, you know, the opportunity to come back next year. Obviously, he's got a fat contract, and we got a lot of big bills coming up in LSU athletics. But I'm trying to get this to go over here. There we go. Intermittent reverb. For now, yes. What's up, Lisey? Let's go. Lisey Dex. PHL's best videographer, Lisey Dex. Lance says yes. Jordan says yes. How about them Pels? Really excited about that. Lots of Pelicans fans chiming on in here. Okay. I believe he should be back. And we'll see how they make a run in the LSU SEC tournament. But I want to talk about the women's SEC tournament. There is a piece of me that would not be horribly sad. I know I didn't say that smoothly at all. If LSU was to get knocked out early in the SEC tournament. Obviously, I want to win round one, okay? You don't want to just lose the first game. But I just think the SEC tournament every year is just overrated. No one really remembers if you win the SEC tournament, especially if you won the national championship the year before. So I'm not saying you should go there and throw the game. What I am telling you, though, is this is the only time throughout the year, at least later in the year, where you have to play on back-to-back days, 3 days in a row. So if they win on Friday, they would have to play again on Saturday within a 24-hour period, okay? And then if they win on Saturday, they would have to play in the championship game on Sunday, which it's not listed here for whatever reason. You know, I don't know if it's good for this team to play three games in 3 days with them being as thin as they are right now. So I do believe in the I do believe in the idea that the conference tournament can affect your NCAA tournament. I really do think so. I believe it in men's and women's. Because you play in these conference tournaments and run your team down if you go on a long run, right? So consider me in the minority. If we were to get knocked out early, I'm okay with it. You know, last year, of course, we lost to Tennessee pretty much at the buzzer in the SEC tournament. But I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. What's up, Ralph? Good to see you. Ralph with the One Direction photo. That always gets me. You've got that one thing. That's One Direction. It's a deeper cut. It's not one of their bigger songs. Pierce, what's good? All the way in Ruston. I'll be in Ruston here in a few days, weeks, actually.
Carvis says, Carter, how can you do a live stream and not mention Jordan Gilbert? Interesting.
You have JV and Toviano moving over. Okay. I think Toviano's going to stay at corner for the spring, but I could see him make that move. And Major Burns at safety, a huge spring for him. We've not talked a whole lot about Major Burns. Obviously, it was a tough year for him last year. It wasn't the absolute worst year I've ever seen from an LSU safety, but it definitely wasn't one of the better ones. It's going to be a big year for them. All right. I haven't been here in a while. I just shouted you out a minute ago. that, hey, put Carter in a closet with a lava lamp. You can give me, Lance gave me his honest opinion on it a little bit earlier. You give me your honest thoughts on the new studio, right? I am moving a bunch of things around. Once again, I'm going to be doing some live streams where I'm standing. That's why I went and got a standing desk. I feel I am a better broadcaster and entertainer when I'm standing. So I wanted to get something to where I'm able to stand and move around and show off my athleticism, show off my 10-inch vertical leap, okay? I can't wait. We got some cool standing stuff coming up here on the channel. But yeah, just wanted to make it a little bit more of an intimate vibe with the purple backlighting. Let me know what you guys think, if you like it or dislike it. If you want me to bring all the sports cards back, so I could do it. I could do it. All right. Grant, what's up? Good to see your beautiful face. Texas Grant this weekend, always a good thing. Now, here's what we're going to do, okay? In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. We will be live tomorrow night, okay? Really excited about that. 6 p.m. Central, be on the lookout for that, okay? How long are we going to go live tomorrow? I don't want to go live for a very long time. But, you know, tonight, let me see something really quickly. One Lady Gaga song's been stuck in my head. The one with, and we won't be live at 6. We're actually going live a little bit earlier. But LSU playing Southeastern tomorrow at 6. So we'll probably go live tomorrow around like 4. Okay, we'll do 4 or 5. Just be on the lookout. Okay. I almost broke the table the first night. Well, no, what happened was my camera, I have a nice camera. I've always had this nice camera. I'm going to be shooting like some cinematic films and stuff like that.
The camera actually fell over. So it wasn't the table that broke. I thought it was the table at first, but I knocked the camera over, and there you go. Like,
What would have been better is if I would have said,
oh my God, the table. How is my setup all of a sudden raising up into the air?
That's cool, though. What about J.K. Johnson? Yes, J.K. Johnson is back. Or at least I saw him today during.
Now,
something I did want to include at the end is we do have some new jersey numbers for LSU football, okay? I am a jersey number shop, okay? It is something that I think does matter. All right. I think it matters in recruiting. I think it matters just in general. Right. So we do have the new jersey numbers here. CJ Daniels, Xavion Thomas, Jordan Gilbert, 4, 11, 14, AJ Swan, number 15, Jair Brown, number 17, Austin Osberry, number 36. Okay. Early enrollees. Deshaun McBride gets number 10. Hurley gets number 16. Gabriel Relaford, number 19. Rogers, 22. Woodland, 27. Devon Keys, 42. Tylan Singleton, 46. Kalaji Combs, number 48. Carly, 55. Ethan Calloway, 73. 77, 78 for Cryer and Eccles. Ama Bros, number 93. That was the number he wore his junior year in high school. John Washington, 95, and Johnson, number 96, young man from Westgate. So, there you go. Gabriel Relford getting number 19. Kyle Singleton, number 46. I doubt that number sticks for him. I think he can be a single-digit guy.
All right.
Let's go to Precia.
If you missed 20 or more tackles in the last 2 years, you shouldn't be a starter next
year. That's Precia. I can get down with that.
I can.
I can. Yeah, Grant, you pick any topic. You go right on ahead. Danny says it looks different. Danny, you switched up the profile photo recently. You got that sassy face going. Big Al says big bounce back for Coach Raymond. I like it. George, good to see you. Trey Murphy went off tonight. Okay. I'm going to watch the highlights right when I get off of here. Let's see. Let's go to Ralph. We got some stability. Yeah. We talked about the recruiting a little bit earlier. So there you go. Now, because we are going live a little bit earlier tomorrow, more than likely we will go live around 5. We might go a little bit earlier than that.
I do want to say thanks to everybody. We're
still building this thing. I feel like every day is a new day for PHL. But if you have not already, please go subscribe to the new NFL channel. It goes a long way. I even put it as the name of this right here. Okay. So there you go. We'll talk to you soon, baby.
It is Power Hour LSU. Bell. And tonight
we are doing, oh, Las Brazas Chimichangas. Let's go. Ha, 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 ha. Let's go.